From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. In peacetime, Brooke Army Medical Center in San Antonio sees a few amputees each year. But since the war in Iraq began, all military hospitals have begun treating greater numbers of troops who've lost limbs. At BAMSI, as the huge hospital is known, the Army has created a new team to care for these wartime amputees with different approaches and new technology. NPR's Linda Wertheimer reports.
Sports medicine is the model for the program at BAMSI. Doctors get their patients out of the bed and into the gym, often still grieving for their lost limbs, still recovering from other wounds. The idea is to use what is left of their amputated limbs. If it's a leg, stand them up. We watched a young soldier, Gilbert Martinez, make his first visit to the gym. He was strapped to a platform, tilted up just slightly.
Now, do you feel like the straps are keeping you, holding you, or do you feel like your weight is good through your foot?
I feel like I'm going to slide down.
Martinez is 20. He lost his lower leg to a landmine in Iraq weeks before. The remaining part was wrapped in plaster with a primitive-looking prosthesis, a pipe with a foot screwed onto the bottom of the cast. It's called an IPOP, immediate post-operative prosthesis.
Now, do you feel it like coupling around here, or does it feel like it's right at the tip of your stump?
Therapist Matt Parker balanced an ordinary bathroom scale at the end of the platform, propped the prosthesis against it, and cranked the platform up some more.
Good. That's 20 pounds. I like that.
Martinez was looking queasy, with just a fraction of his weight resting on the prosthesis. As the platform tilted up again, he lost even more color.
Too much? Right foot, drop it down.
Dr. Robert Granville is one of Gilbert Martinez's doctors and is very pleased with his progress. Standing upright is a major milestone for these soldiers, helping them to see their way through what has happened to them. The first concerns when soldiers come in are, of course, their wounds. When a leg has been blown open, it takes time just to get it clean. With open wounds, broken bones have to be wired, screwed, and bolted to a metal superstructure called a fixator until the wounds are closed. There are often burns and unrelated injuries. While all that is going on, Granville says they try to save as much of the soldier's limb as they can.
It's important to preserve length because that gives a longer lever arm for the body to use, and particularly important to preserve joints if at all possible. A patient with a transfemoral amputation above the knee has a much harder time of it than a patient with a transtibial amputation below the knee. So it can take quite a while for the wounds to get closed.
As soon as the suture line can take it, Granville says, we start. Dr. Granville heads the new amputee center, which puts together the doctors who care for wounds, orthopedic specialists, prosthetists and physiatrists, and counselors. It's a team approach, revived from the Second World War, Granville says, with all the technical breakthroughs of the last 60 years added to the mix. Sergeant Dan Seafeld was in some of the many battles for the Sadr City area of Baghdad. He lost his leg driving out of Sadr City, escorting a damaged Bradley fighting vehicle back to camp. When his Humvee was blown up, he knew right away his leg was gone.
I woke up and the doctor said, hey, I had to take your leg. I said, yeah, I know. But, you know, the doctor, they reassured me that go to Walter Reed or BAMSI and get the best treatment and, you know, you'd be up and walking sooner than you know it.
Sergeant Seafeld is 43. His oldest child is 20. Before his duty in Iraq, he planned to retire about now, so he just wanted to get on with it. The team at BAMSI was ready for him with a device called the C-Leg, with a computer-programmed knee.
We did the measurements when I first got here and whipped out a leg for me and brought it back a couple days later and took measurements and got a better fit with the leg actually on there and brought it back a couple days later and I was huffed.
Seafeld has made a very quick adjustment to the C-leg, which is capable of far more subtle movement than older mechanical prostheses. He took me for a test drive across the gym and down the hall.
Walking is normal. I can go in crowds and not worry about it, and I can take corners just like everybody else, you know, and I can open the door up and get myself out, and everything is just about back to normal where it should be.
Normal walking is complex. Navigating crowds means dodging in and out. Going around corners involves shifting weight and pivoting. The C-Leg, with its microprocessor, makes those small adjustments as Seafelt walks.
Me and a prosthetic guy down here, we figured out, you know, okay, well, this is my normal step. They measured it, put it in the computer, and they say, okay, well, this is what we want your leg to do. This is where we want your toe to get loaded, push off, and you kneel, Ben.
That what we're hearing is your toe is behind you. You set your toe down, and that activates the thing.
Yeah, just like when you're regularly walking. And you see how my leg kicks forward?
The computer controls hydraulics, which bend the knee, control the kick, and straighten the leg. So when Sergeant Seafelt puts his weight on it, it holds him up. There's still a little hesitation in his step. He says he's learning to trust the leg. The C-Leg can also handle stairs. It can swing freely for bike riding. And Seafelt is impressed with how it holds him when he sits down without using his arms for support. Long-term, Seafelt wants to return to long-distance running. Short-term goals are more modest and domestic.
I can't do my yard work. Can't get out there and cut the grass and weed eat yet, but I will. I will. Soon.
You sure this is something you want to be able to do again?
Yeah. Yeah, I took pride in that. Get my house looking good.
The man who put Seafelt into this extraordinary leg is John Ferguson. He left a teaching position at the University of Washington Medical School to come to BAMSI and work with amputees. Dr. Granville took us to meet Ferguson in his shop, part high-tech, part not so high. John Ferguson has those red tool chests from Sears with all the drawers. He has a Singer sewing machine, a variety of saws and drill presses, and a computerized carver that quickly turns out rigid foam replicas of what soldiers generally call their stump.
I saw this patient this morning. I took a set of measurements. I send this now to my milling machine, and this is going to turn. It'll take about 7 or 8 minutes. This will turn out the model of the socket that he's going to be wearing. The next stage after that is this right here, where that next machine is a vacuum forming machine that will pull plastic down over the model for me.
After technicians knock the foam out of the hard plastic shape, they have a socket perfectly fitted to the soldier's residual limb. The prosthesis is fastened to that hard plastic socket. With the carver, making a comfortable socket is quick and easy.
That's probably one of our biggest benefits of having in-house prosthetics here. When our soldiers are they're inpatients or outpatients with us. So when they need something, my door's open. They come down, they knock on the door, say, I'm hurting today, what can you do? And I'll take care of them, you know, pretty much on the spot.
John Ferguson can also tweak the C-Leg with his computer. He plugged in to a passing patient to demonstrate. He can monitor and adjust the gait, the way the leg walks, with his laptop.
When he speeds up, it speeds up with him. He doesn't have to think so hard about getting it out to full extension. It's going to control itself to get there. The microprocessor is thinking about it for him.
John Ferguson wants to go wireless so he can track his patients outside on grass or walking through a mall. He routinely builds several prostheses for each patient. I asked what Sergeant Dan Seafelt might get.
He would have, in his case, probably a microprocessor knee for everyday use in ambulation. We'll have something specialty, whether it's sports or whatever activity you want to be in. And then we'll, if they want, they'll have something that will be more cosmetic, something that would look nicer, that would have a cosmetic cover on it, maybe a something that looked more like skin, a shape to it, if that's important to the individual. Some people, that's not a real driving factor for them. Others, it's very important.
Now, in his case, what he wants to do is long-distance running.
Well, we have a lot of work to do. I mean, that the components aren't going to be the limitation in that. His own physical stamina and his own limb will be more the limiter than the components will.
That's because with an above-the-knee amputation, Seafelt will have to strengthen different muscles to prepare for running, maybe get a different socket. The team is working with him on an exercise program. BAMSI is also building a gait lab, a room with panels on the floor to measure weight and pressure, computers and cameras to record movement to help Ferguson make even more complex adjustments to the new legs.
The exciting part for me is probably more the motivation of the people I get to work with on both sides of the field, the clinicians as well as the patients. The patients are thrilling to work with. They push me to my absolute limit professionally, and that's great fun. So that's the exciting part. Technology, I love it, but it's way behind where I wish we were, and it's nowhere close to where I hope we are in 5 years.
Dr. Granville says it may be possible soon to bolt a prosthesis right to the bone, like knee replacements are now. Researchers are working on artificial hands that sense pressure and heat. Granville credits the high success rate at the amputee center to the heart of the patients. They're young, before their injuries, athletic, highly motivated, trained to set goals. The Army provides the latest and best equipment so that the soldiers and their doctors can break new ground on what is possible for amputees.
Unfortunately, you know, it takes having this large a cohort of patients to make these kinds of advances.
Have you ever worked with this large an amount of amputees in one place?
No, I never have before. And it's very exciting. And these people are so motivated and so supportive of each other, so understanding of each other, that it's really a joy to work with them.
John Ferguson told us he wants all his patients to reach whatever goals they set, and he'll try to build whatever they need to make that happen.
Our idea here is we're going to start them on the best components available, but we still have to make them a secondary leg, because you can't, you're not going to go fly fishing with that unless you have full waders on. I'm going to ask you, please don't take it near the river. But you know, someone wants to do what they want to do, bring it back to me broken then, and we'll fix it. Live life. Joy.
Ferguson says that as doctors follow these soldiers through their lives, they'll continue to influence and change amputee care. And their numbers are growing larger every week. Linda Wertheimer, NPR News.
You can hear the story of another amputee at BAMSI on our website. Less than a year after losing part of his leg in Iraq, reservist Chris Leverkin is playing ice hockey and hitting the ski slopes. Hear his story at npr.org.